and perfect for man to inhabit, Lord. But after the fall of man, things changed, Lord. And so we have such a beautiful day like this, and it just reminds me of the day we'll get this, all these days we'll spend in heaven, Lord, where things will be perfect and the weather will always be nice. And so I pray, Father, that you bless this day, Lord, and just let us focus in, let us learn what it means to be a citizen of heaven today. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, heaven. Think of when, is the battery dying, dude? Or you think it's all right? All right. Okay, heaven. What do you guys think about when you hear that word? All right, just jog in your memory real fast. Think about what you think of when you hear the word heaven. Maybe you think about this idea of heaven. And maybe I was on the internet the other day and I did some research on Yahoo. I typed in, what is your idea of heaven? And I found out many people have many, many different views on what they believe heaven is, or even if there is a heaven. Some people said this, heaven is no Christians. Wow. Some said heaven is a state of mind, meaning that it's not an actual place. Some said it's a being in the spa all day with floating fruit trays. Sounds good. I don't know about that, though. Some Christians even said that heaven is like Hawaii. Hawaii is pretty awesome. It really is. Someone said that heaven is having a beer volcano. Okay. That is disturbing. Some say heaven depends on what you believe, meaning whatever you believe will determine where you go in the end. I read on people.com about celebrities, about their idea of heaven. Now, Sandra Bullock said her idea of heaven was no noise and a pint of Haagen-Dazs. I mean, if you're going to make like demands, why would you just demand a pint, right? Why wouldn't you say like unending amounts of ice cream or something like that? Seems ridiculous. Dennis Quaid said, heaven is Texas. Ooh. My sister's actually born in Texas, but I don't think it's heaven. Denzel Washington said, no kids and no noise. Wow, I hope these kids didn't read that, right? Well, today is our last teaching in Treasure Church. It's our 13th study, you guys. We spent 13 weeks on different studies of Treasure Church. And our last one today, our treasure, is eternal, everlasting life in heaven. Now, heaven is this place that we have traveled the seas for, that we've looked for so long, that we've spent this whole journey looking for. Now, as many of you guys have seen, there's many different views of what people think is heaven. But there's a problem with this, because it's something that we have spoken of before, and we've actually spoken about it here at Treasure Church. It's something that's called the law of non-contradictory, okay? Meaning this, two opposing things cannot be true at the same time, okay? Now just follow me with this, because this is the problem that people have with heaven. You see, one person says, heaven is no Christians, and the other person says, heaven is Christians. Okay, now both of them can't be right on what heaven is. Or someone says, well, my idea of heaven is that we don't actually have a body. And then somebody says, well, we actually have a body in heaven. So they can both not be right. It's impossible to not have and have a body at the exact same time. So that's the problem here. Therefore, heaven can't be what one person thinks it is. It must either exist or not exist. It must be one or the other. And of course, you guys know, there's many religions out there that talk about this idea of heaven. But not all of these religions can be true, right? There's impossible for every single religion to have the appropriate view on what heaven is. Therefore, we're going to see what the Bible says about heaven. Because as we've seen so in the Treasure Church series as well, we've seen that the Bible, more than any other book, more than any other piece of literature in the entire world, has more credibility for it than anything that ever has come before it or will come after it, right? And if you guys don't remember how we came to this conclusion that we can believe the Bible, I encourage you to get on velocityabq.org and listen to the message Captain or Counterfeit, where we talked about why it is we can believe that Jesus is the Lord of our life, why we can believe the Word of God. But so if we're going to look into this treasure tonight, we want to see what the truth is. We don't want to just speculate. We don't want to just guess. We don't want to just make up our own minds. We want to see what God says about heaven. We're going to see why God made heaven, how we get to go to heaven, who will be in heaven, and what will we be doing in heaven. Now, because there isn't a specific text, as I told you before, in the Bible for to explain everything that we're going to talk about it tonight, I'm going to bring up very different texts. And also, I want to tell you, I won't be actually talking about the actual physical makeup of heaven. If you guys remember, of course, if you've heard Kevin taught in Revelation, and he taught all about what heaven will actually be as far as its size of its walls, the size of the cube that it'll be, the streets paved with gold, all these things. And we're not actually going to talk about those things, but I encourage you to look that. That's also a great teaching that you can look up on velocityabq.org. It's called Infinite Star Resort. I just heard it the other day. But here's the deal. People have spent months and years of their lives teaching and trying to learn a lot about heaven. And so I just want you guys to know that by tonight, there's no way in this next half an hour that I'm going to be able to cover every single thing having to do with heaven. Okay? And I want to also explain to you that should you leave here tonight not super excited about heaven, well, that isn't because heaven's not exciting. That just means that I was not able to give it the glory it deserves, okay? Heaven is going to be so amazing that I think only God himself could accurately portray the things that will go on there, okay? And so I hope that you leave excited tonight, but if you don't, it's not because heaven's not exciting. It's because only God himself could accurately portray the things that are going on in there. Randy Alcorn, an author of the book Heaven, said, "There is a reason why God has only given us a glimpse of heaven, and it's to fire up our imagination and to give our hearts a burning desire for heaven." So if you don't leave here freaking out, it's not because heaven's not awesome. Heaven is awesome. Heaven is beyond anything that you could ever imagine. It's kind of like what Paul said, if you guys don't get it. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:2, he says, "I was taken up to third heaven." I'll explain that in a minute. And he said, "I saw things that are basically unlawful," or you could say things that are illegal for me to say. He basically got a glimpse into heaven as a mere man. And he says, "I don't know if I went in body or if I went in spirit or what, but all I know is I got to see heaven. And the things that went on in there, I can't even tell you the things that went on in there." So that's what it's kind of like. Like Paul couldn't even explain. One of the greatest men of the Bible couldn't explain what was going on there because it was so amazing. Now, Paul said he got caught up into third heaven in what I just told you. Let me give you a little background. Heaven is used 551 times in the Bible, but it's usually used for a specific location. Okay? Now, it's used in three ways usually. The first one is called the first heaven, which is the nearest to us. It's inside this atmosphere. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 11:17 says, "The Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that so it will not rain on the ground, and you will yield no produce." Okay, we can understand that. Heaven, where rain clouds are, right? Where rain comes from, where weather comes from, where the clouds are, that's inside our atmosphere, right? It's not outside the earth. It's right there. So that's one of the ways they talk about heaven. The other is this, the second heaven. Deuteronomy 4:19 says, "Lest thou lift thine eyes to the heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven." Okay, we all know that the stars, the moon, the planets exist in outer space, right? So that's another way that they spoke about the heavens. That's where the planets, the galaxies are. Now, this is the third heaven that Paul was talking about. This is where the fullness of God's glory dwells. This is God's throne room in heaven. Psalm 114 says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven." You guys know that in our weekend series in Matthew, we've been seeing all these things. Like when you give with a pure heart, it says your Father in heaven will reward you. And when you pray in secret and you pray for people, it says your Father in heaven will reward you. You guys can understand that, right? I mean, think of a king in the old days with castles. Where was the king's throne? Inside the castle, usually, right? Inside the place where he dwelled. He didn't have his throne outside or his throne somewhere else. It was always inside his own personal place. And the same is for God. That's where he dwells, inside his own personal place. And I don't know if you guys have ever seen seen the stars, like really seen the stars, not like seeing them like looking outside as you drive up Paseo to your house or anything like that, like really seen the stars. It's amazing, right? It's so amazing to think about that. And here's the deal. Heaven is not a state of mind. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is not a place that you could just wake up at any moment. I want you to think about those stars and how amazing they are. Now imagine seeing them from outer space. Imagine seeing how cool Earth would look being outside of Earth, right? It's so amazing. And so you need to just keep that in mind, right? Think about all these places, right? First heaven, where the things we see just here, the amazingness of the sky here. The second heavens, where there's the stars and the planets in the third heaven. How much better must the third heaven be than the second heaven? I mean, think about being in a spaceship, being able to fly around and look at the stars. That would be amazing. Now, how much more cool must God's place be? So, as we said, heaven is a real place where real people are right now. It's a physical place that's as real as your house, okay? It exists just like your house. So now that we have a little bit of background about how they've used heaven and things like that, let's look into why there is heaven and earth. Now, as I said before, you guys, many people believe that heaven isn't a physical, touchable place. But that would be odd, right? Because it would be weird for God to do this. It would be weird for God to create the world like he did, in a world where we can touch things, where we can enjoy things, right? Where I can drink water and do all these things. And then all of a sudden, when we get to heaven, it's not like that anymore, right? There's obviously a reason why he's made it this way. So by what we see on earth, the complexity of things, how God has arranged things, it's almost like a shadow of heaven. It's not that the heaven is like earth, but in fact, earth is like heaven. God has created a little slice of heaven right here in this earth that we live in. How cool is that? Because think of how cool our world is, right? I mean, who hasn't watched the Discovery Channel? Like, it's so amazing to watch how everything works together and how awesome all the animals are and how awesome all these places in the world are and how much we'd love to visit them and how we barely know anything about our oceans. We've only barely even begun to see everything in our oceans, and it's so amazing, right? But the thing about it is, clearly heaven must be even more amazing than this earth. There's no way that this earth could be more amazing than heaven. Now, we need to go back to the beginning of the Bible a little bit here. Who knows the first words of the Bible? Okay, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? Heavens and the earth. So and then we know on the sixth day is when God created man. And here's what we need to know. When God created human beings, they were in a perfected state, right? Adam and Eve were perfect. They had a face-to-face relationship with God. When Adam and Eve were first here, they got to hang out with God. They got to see into the angelic realm of heaven. They got to see into heaven. It was not shut off from them. They were innocent and pure, and they were able to be near God, unlike us today. We cannot come to God. We can't even think about coming near God without Jesus, because God is so holy that we would be incinerated in seconds because we're so evil and wicked compared to God. But if you guys remember, something happened. The fall of man happened, right? Eve was deceived by the serpent. Adam sinned. And now the fellowship that was once between God, that face-to-face amazing fellowship, has now been cut off because they've sinned. So everything gets cut off. God says the world is now under a curse of sin and death. Right? Now Adam and Eve, because of their sin, he says, surely they will die. Right? They once weren't going to die, and now that they've sinned, now they've brought the curse of death upon them, right? And not only have they brought it upon themselves, but they brought it onto animals and all creation. Now, if you're wondering, what does this have to do with heaven and earth? It has this to do with it. It's because of this curse, it's because of the fall, it's because of the sin of Adam and Eve that heaven and earth is separated. Because at one point, God was on earth. God came here, right? God was hanging out with Adam and Eve. That's just where he dwelled. And as soon as the sin happened, those things got separated. So that's why we're separated now from heaven, because of the sin that happens here, the wickedness, the evilness. We just can't be with God without Jesus. So everything gets closed off. But because we have sinned, we've been cut off and we've been sealed up. And here's the deal. God won't come back to dwell with us in the way that he did with Adam and Eve until what is called the millennium. And here's the crazy part. Listen to this. Romans 8:22 says that all of creation yearns for redemption. You see, all creation, he says. You see, because of the choice that we have made to sin, it has not only affected the human race, it's also affected animals. You guys, Adam and Eve, they didn't kill animals back then. God had to kill two animals to cover them up because after they sinned, they were no longer innocent and pure. And so God had to kill two animals for their skin so they could cover up Adam and Eve's nakedness, right? So because of our choice, those animals had to die. And we see that today too. I mean, think about how much of the rainforest that we clear out because of our paper needs, because of the things that we do, because of our McDonald's wrappers, because of everything that we do, right? You know, it was once said that the rainforest made up 14% of the earth. Now they're about at 6% of the earth. And they say that within 40 years, all of the rainforest will be gone. And that's crazy. Because they say, get this, every single day, because of the amount of things that we use, that the amount of land they're clearing out of the rainforest, that 137 species of plants and animals are killed every single day because of what we do to the rainforest. So you can see how our sin has affected creation. And that's sad because the Amazon is responsible for 20% of the entire world's oxygen, all right? The stuff we breathe, right? So obviously we need the Amazon. But you see the kind of effect that we're having. And I don't know if you guys have seen the news lately, but there's that oil spill that just happened, right? 200,000 gallons of oil every day getting poured into the ocean. Okay. It's because of our sinfulness, because of our drive for things and all these things that we now have to have petroleum and oil to fulfill everything that we do in this country and all the wickedness of things. And now that's affected creation. So you can see, because of our sin, we have affected all creation. And that's why the Bible says that all of creation is yearning for redemption. All of creation wants to be brought back to the state that they were in when Adam and Eve were here before they sinned. And here's the deal. When Jesus comes back, he will do that. He will make things like they were in Eden. He will not only restore you and I, but he will restore all of creation. Crazy to think about that, right? Crazy to think that birds and fish realize that something's not right here. Isn't that funny? Like, trees realize that something's wrong here, right? All those trees that fall over and die, they're like, something's going wrong here. And that's so crazy to think about that. And don't worry, because when Jesus comes back, once again, that realm of heaven will be open to us. Once again, we will have face-to-face time with God. Once again, God will redeem the earth and make it how it should have been. And it will always be like that because there will be no more Satan and no more curse. No one will die anymore, right? But we aren't there yet, so we need to figure out how we get to take part in this heavenly treasure. Who's seen the show Amazing Race? Anybody seen Amazing Race? Pretty cool show, okay? If you haven't seen it, let me explain it to you. They take these people from America, and they make them go all around the world and find clues and play games and do these things to win a million-dollar prize. So they take these people who don't speak a lick of Chinese, so to speak, and just drop them in like rural China and be like, okay, and give them a clue that says, make your way to this one little like guy who makes noodles who lives in a house that by himself that's like, you know, the house is as big as that table. And they're like, wait, what are we supposed to do? So obviously, they need to find out where they're going, right? They want to get to this destination. So they have to ask the person. They have to ask the locals, hey, how do I get to this guy's house who's making noodles, right? And so that's what they do. They say, hey, can you help me out? They try to find someone who speaks English. Hey, help me out. Now, the direction from the locals is obviously very, very good because they know where they're going. They're from there. And the same is very true for us. That's basically what we're doing when we witness to people, okay? You know, as true believers, we're not made for this world anymore. Okay? I don't know about you guys, but there's definitely those times when I'm like, I don't belong here. Like, I just see people, or I see how they act and the things they do, and I'm just like, I don't even belong here anymore. And that's good. That's because if you've been saved by Christ, you're no longer of this world. You're of heaven now. That's your place. And so our goal is just like those native people tell those people on Amazing Race how to get to the destination, that's what we need to do. Okay? We need to say, oh, How do you get to heaven? Oh, I know how to get to heaven. I'm a local, right? I know exactly how to do that. And we should tell them one thing and one thing only, Jesus. Now, as you guys know, there's probably many shortcuts to your house. Maybe you guys know a special route that will get to your house faster. But you must know that on the route to heaven, there is no such thing as a shortcut. Everyone must go by the way of Jesus or not make it to heaven. Now, there's a problem, right? Because just as we spoke about earlier, there's a lot of people out there who don't say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. I wonder if you've heard this before. You know, when I usually ask somebody, who do you think goes to heaven? What do they usually say? They usually say, good people, right? It's probably what you guys get a lot. Well, I'm basically a good person. Don't good people go to heaven? How many of you guys have ever heard someone say that? Anybody? Good people go to heaven? Okay, good. Now, let me ask you this question. Say there was a man or a woman, and this person was a quote-unquote good person. They didn't lie. They took care of their family. They loved their family. They tried to forgive people. They gave away a lot of their money. They fed the poor. They fed the homeless. They did all those things, but they didn't have Jesus. Who would say that they're a good person? Good job. That's good. Because you guys know what God says about all of the things that we try to do to make ourselves good. You know what the Bible says it is? The Bible says they're filthy rags. Filthy rags. So you trying to get to heaven by anything else besides Jesus, God says it's like filthy rags. That means someday you get to come, you go to heaven and say you don't know Jesus, okay? Say a non-believer goes up to heaven, doesn't know Jesus, and says, and then the Lord says, okay, let's see what you've done with your life. And he says, okay, I've served the homeless. I gave away all my money. I loved my wife. I loved my children. I've done all of these things. God says, it's like presenting him with a pile of dirty, nasty rags. He says, that's what I think of all those things you did. Now, you have to make the distinction here, okay, you guys, because here's the deal. In Christ, those are great things. We're called to do good works, right? We're not saved by them. You'll never make it to heaven by serving the poor. You serve the poor because out of your love for God saving you through Christ, then you do it, right? You don't obey your parents because you want to get to heaven. That won't get you to heaven. You obey your parents because you love Jesus and he said to do that, right? So those are good things, but all those works upon themselves will never get you to heaven. And so good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. Very simple, right? Meaning those of us who have given our life to Jesus, we love to serve and we love to help people, but the only reason we're getting led into heaven is because we are saved by faith, by believing in Jesus alone. Let me tell you this, you guys. God doesn't care if you're Mother Teresa. If you don't have Jesus, you don't got squat, okay? John 3:36 says, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who doesn't, who does not have the Son does not have eternal life, but the wrath of God is upon him. 1 John 5:11 says, for God has granted us eternal life through his Son Jesus. John 14:6 says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. No one comes through the Father except through me. Acts 4:12 says, there is no other name by which men are saved except for the name of Jesus. You want to hear something sad? I'll tell you guys something sad about. There is a lot of people who go to hell. A lot more people go to hell than go to heaven. And I don't even remember. I think it's like dozens of people die every second or something like that. Don't quote me on that, but it's something ridiculous like that. And that's really sad to think that right now somebody is in hell. That's very sad, right? But I'll tell you something even more sad than that, even more sad than somebody being tortured, and it's this, that maybe that person would be in heaven if we would only share the gospel with them. How much more sad if your friend goes to hell only because, not because they didn't believe, but because you never told them. And if you would have said, hey, listen, you should come to Velocity. I think you need God. Here's a business card. And if you would do that, maybe they would come and they would believe and now they get to go to heaven, you know? Because it's so much more sad when people perish who've never even heard the gospel, right? It's different when they've heard the gospel and they say, I don't believe. and then they die. That's their own choice. But if someone has never heard the gospel and they perish because we are so afraid to say anything, right? Then that's scary. That's sad, because we must never be too frightened or too whatever to not give that person directions to heaven, right? We must tell them the truth about heaven, that it's a free gift from God, and simply by believing in God, they can be saved. You guys remember, I'm sure a lot of you were there, the reason why I took you guys to see Steve Wilburn last weekend was because of that very reason. Sharing the gospel is so important in our lives. And as Steve talked this weekend, I don't know about you guys, but I was very convicted about many opportunities in my life that have gone past. Just like Steve said, those times when you're like, you see that person and you know you should say something and you talk yourself out of it. And that's really sad, because that person might die tonight, and they might die without knowing the Lord, right? And so I pray, and I hope you guys pray, that you'll ask God to bring back all those opportunities. That you'll ask that, hey, all those people at school that I was afraid to talk to, that you'll do that. You know, you guys, you're only like a couple weeks away from summer break. I want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks. Some of you guys who are eighth graders may not even see your classmates again. So who cares? Go out there and tell them how much they need the Lord. And those of you who are going to see him again, big deal. Invite them. Invite him to hang out this summer. It'll be a good time. This is a perfect time with only a couple weeks of school left for you guys to really start inviting some people, because you may not see them over the summer. You know, there's people that you don't see every single week in the summer. And so that person may have a horrible summer because you didn't share the love of God with them. So how do we get to heaven? Only by Christ. If you guys remember, our last Treasure Church a couple weeks ago was X marks the spot. And we said that an X is like this, but if you take it like this, it makes a cross. And just as an X marks the treasure to a treasure map, right, to pirates, so the cross marks our treasure. And nobody gets to go to heaven without coming through the cross of Christ. And it's so nice that he can do that. So we want everybody to be in heaven. But let's look at who will be in heaven. This is pretty cool. You know, I love what Pastor Skip says about heaven. He says, when you guys get to heaven, you're going to be surprised at some of the people you see there. And a lot of people are going to be surprised to see you there, right? I know that there's a bunch of people that are probably going to be like, wait, who let AJ in, right? Like, that guy can't be in here. But that's really cool. Now, maybe you're thinking this. Wait, if people are going to recognize me in heaven, and I'm going to recognize people, does that mean that I'm going to be me? Yes. You will be you. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, you will each receive a resurrected body, okay? Now, I want to explain this just a little bit, okay? Now, pay attention. Okay, right now you have this body, all right? And when you die, your spirit, your soul, separates from this body, okay? You leave this body behind, okay? When you go to heaven, you don't automatically get a body. Doesn't work like that. It's not going to be until the second coming at the resurrection of the dead. So when we get to heaven now, we're going to exist in some sort of spiritual state, all right? Which is really cool, actually, right? But then one day when the resurrection comes, when the resurrection of the dead happens, each one of us will get a glorious resurrected body. It'll be similar to what you have now, just way better, right? And so in heaven, guess what? We will know each other. And you guys will be like, hey, it's AJ. Because you'll recognize me. You won't be like, is that you, AJ? No, I'll be like, hey, it looks just like you. Hey, it's you. Like, we're going to look just like we do now. Let me back this up with a little bit of scripture, of course. Jesus was the best example. John 21, if you guys remember the story of Mary Magdalene, she comes to the tomb and she's crying and she's weeping and she's looking down like this. And she says, and somebody from right here says, why are you crying? And she says, she's looking down and she says, I don't know where they've laid the king. Speaking of Jesus, because the tomb was empty. So she thought someone stole it. She's like, I don't know where they laid him. And he says, woman. And she goes, and she looks over and says, Rabbi. She didn't say, who are you? She said, Rabbi, meaning, you know, Rabbi, teacher, Jesus. She instantly recognized Jesus after he had resurrected from the dead, right? She wasn't confused. Or how about this? Here's another good example. Matthew 17, the transfiguration. Now, if you remember, Jesus takes two of the disciples, Peter and John, right, to the top of this mountain. and he's transfigured right before their eyes, meaning he gets turned into like glorious resurrected Jesus right there in their midst and right there standing. Wow. That scared me. Thank you, Cassidy, for waking us all up. Okay, so get this though. So the transfiguration. So then there's Elijah and Moses, right? So Jesus takes them up there. Jesus like is transfigured before their eyes and just is like turns bright white, like amazing. His glory shines. And right there is Moses and Elijah. And Peter and John know that it's Moses and Elijah. They're not like, Jesus, who are those two guys who like just appeared before our eyes? They've never seen, but get this. This is interesting to know because they don't know who, they've never seen Elijah and Moses. That was way before their day. And they didn't have like, you know, Polaroid pictures where like, you know, they'd show somebody or like, you know, MMS a picture to like, you know, of Moses doing something. They didn't know what he looked like, but they instantly recognized him. So how cool is that? That means in heaven, you'll instantly recognize people, even people you may not know. You may be like, dude, that's Paul the Apostle. Oh my gosh, dude, that's Noah. Dude, that's Mary. You know what I mean? You're going to see all these people and you're going to get to know them, which is amazing, right? Or here's a couple other ones. Luke 15. It says, when one sinner repents, all of heaven rejoices. How cool is that? When you guys come to know Jesus, all of heaven rejoiced for you. Every angel up there was having a party because you came to Jesus. How cool is that? But that must mean that they know who you are, that they recognize you, right? Luke 16:25, Jesus talks about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Notice he didn't just forget about them. He still calls them by their same name. They're the exact same people. How amazing is that? You guys ever wonder what age you're going to be in heaven? Anybody ever wonder that? That's a good question, right? Well, there's a couple of very different ideas. One of them is that we'll be all very different ages. There's nothing in the Bible that tells us what age we'll be. This is all pure speculation. Some say that that we'll be around age 33, which is when Jesus died, around when Jesus died. Everybody thinks that we'll be that age. But I like this idea. This is what Pastor Skip says, and I agree with this. Okay, there's a point in your DNA, there's a point in your body, there's a point in your life. When you reach, you know what how they say over the hill? You guys ever heard that? Like, dude, like, you know, like those cards, they're like, congratulations, you're over the hill or something like that. Okay, because here's what it basically means. Like, you're on the downward slope of life, right? You've made it to the top, and now everything's downhill from here, right? But that's very much, actually very true. Now, in some people, it's 18. Some people, it's 30. Some people, it's 27. Some people, it's not till they're 35. There's not too big of a range, but there is a certain point when your body begins to break down, when things aren't like they used to be, where you actually are on the downward slide of life and your body is actually starting to deteriorate and die. So Skip believes, and I like that, right at that highest moment, whatever age you're at, that's the age you'll be at in heaven. I think that's really cool. That when you're at your peak, that's the age you'll be at. So for some of us, that might be 18. Some of us, that might be 30. But probably no one older than 40. But it really wouldn't matter anyways. Excuse me. You're going to be in a resurrected, amazing body anyways. So if I'm not me, then how could I be accountable for my own actions, right? If God says, hey, right? If say he's going to say, okay, you've given your life to Jesus, AJ, so now you can come into heaven. Obviously, he clearly knows me. And so if I'm not going to be identified for myself, then there's no way that I could be guilty for the things that I've done in this life. So we will be ourselves. Get this. Revelation 20 says, God's children, believers, names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Right now, all of you who have given your life to God, the Lord has a book in heaven and your name is in there. Mine says, I don't know, I wonder what mine says. If it says my full name, if it just says AJ, you know, I wonder what it says. But for all you guys who have given your name, lives to the Lord, your name is in there. Right in there. God's like, wrote down your name, took the time to do that. How cool is that? And Revelation 2:17 says this, you will get a new name as well. How cool is that? That's exciting. A name that only God knows. That God will name you. But don't forget, you're still going to be you, but you're going to have this special name too. If you guys remember, this happened a couple times in the Bible. Remember how Jacob, his name was Jacob. Then they changed his name to Israel, right? That's why that's the God of Israel. Israel's a It's a place, but it was first a man, right? And so he changed his name from Jacob. Or Peter. Peter was once Cephas, right? Good thing they changed that name, right? You're like, I bet Peter was like, thank you, Jesus. I'm sick of people calling me Cephas, right? But anyways, like, he changed his name because it meant something. That's really cool. And Isaiah 49:16 says this, your name is engraved on my palms. Your walls are ever before me. Dude, God's got like a tattoo of your name on his hand. Right there, he's like, AJ, got that for you, buddy. I'm like, yeah, but all of you do. How exciting. That's how much God loves you, you guys. Let's talk a little bit about our body real fast, okay? Let's talk about what our new body will look like. I'm going to read out of 2 Corinthians here. But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that... Excuse me. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives a body as he pleases, and to each seed his own body. Okay, so first he's saying, just like, okay, if you guys don't know this, when a seed goes into the ground, it actually dies and then it produces, right? How amazing. Like that little seed you put in dies and then from it sprouts life. Same with us. That body dies. That's what Paul's saying. He's like, dude, don't you guys know? You're like farmers. Like when you sow a seed, it dies and then it brings life. Same with you. Your body dies and then it'll bring about new life. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. Paul's saying, listen, you have an earthly body, and then you have a heavenly body. They're kind of the same, but the essence of them is very much different. He's like, listen, a fish has a different body than you do, right? And birds have a different body than you do. So as there's different types of bodies out there, also is different the body that we will have in heaven. So also, at the resurrection of the dead, the body is sown in corruption and raised incorruptible. Okay, right now we know that our body is sown corruption, which means your body is prone to do evil things. Right now we've all sinned in this body, but in your new body, well, that won't be happening. You will be putting on Christ, okay? And just as Christ was not able to sin, by putting on Christ, we won't be able to sin. We'll be putting on Christ, which will be so cool. So we'll be raised in glory. It says this body is sown in weakness, but raised in power. We know that. You guys, dude, you know, you probably have knee problems and back problems and your arms hurt and you get sick. We're very weak people. But it says you're going to be raised in power, man. Like, this body is going to be awesome, not susceptible to germs and all this stuff. It says it is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. We're going to glorify God with these bodies, these new bodies. There is the glory of the Son and the glory of... Oh, I'm sorry, wrong place. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, and the last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit is not first, but the natural, and then afterward, the spiritual. So he says, hey, you're going to get your normal body first, and then after that, you'll get your spiritual one. Just like Adam. Adam was born in the body just like us, right? After he sinned, it was this corruptible body now. And he said, and Jesus, who's the last Adam, right? The one who takes care of all the sin, right? Adam brought in the sin. Jesus took care of all the sin. He says, Jesus was raised in this spirit body, this amazing body, this life-giving spirit, he says. And so the same thing is for us. He says, the first man was made of the earth, made of dust, and the second man is the Lord of heaven. And was the man of dust, and as the man was... as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as the heavenly man, so are those who are heavenly. So he says, hey, we're all of Adam to some degree because we're all made from the dust, right? By the way, that's actually a really interesting point. If you didn't know this, your body's actually made up of many of the things that you can find in the very own soil in the ground, which is really cool because God made us from the dust. Just another little point for there, but he's saying, listen, you were born in the same body as Adam, so you're going to be raised in this body of Jesus, which is heavenly. It's so amazing. So That's really exciting. I hope that excites you guys, that someday you're going to get a new body that's incorruptible, that's perfect, that's unable to get sick, unable to get hurt. You won't break any bones. And most importantly, you won't be able to sin. That's why Paul says he groans day and night. You guys know that? Paul said, I groan day and night for this new body. He's like, it's like when you get out of bed, you guys ever like had a pain and you get out and you're like, oh, it's like, that's what Paul's doing. He's like, stupid body. I can't wait till I get my new one. Right. And like when your knees are knocking, you're like, stupid knee. You know what I mean? You're like groaning because you want this new body. And as we have spoken about Jesus' body, he was able to walk through walls. He ate, he drank, he ascended. The Bible doesn't exactly say what we'll be able to do in our new bodies. But as we spoke about earlier, God wants to spark your imagination. He hasn't told us everything, maybe because he wants you to start thinking, what are the things that I could do in this body, right? Ask yourself this, you guys. Is there any limit to what God can do? No, exactly. There is no limit to what God can do. And so if he can do anything, then maybe you'll fly like a bird. Maybe you'll swim like a dolphin, okay? Maybe you'll run like a cheetah. Who says no? God is incomprehensibly awesome, right? And God has no limit to what he can do. And speaking of animals, by the way, maybe thinking of my running like a cheetah, there will be animals in heaven, right? Just like God made you with a body, and so it would be weird to all of a sudden for God not to give you that body, right? The same thing is kind of like with animals, right? If God made animals on this earth, and he made them even before man, and they were in Eden when things were perfect before the fall of man, well, then wouldn't it be weird for God to just take away animals from heaven? It would be quite weird, right? So we can pretty much think that there is, and by the way, as I told you, all creation waits for the redemption. So all of these animals are waiting for the day, too, when they no longer have to kill each other to eat, and they no longer have to die for all these things that we're, how we're affecting their habitat. And if you don't believe me, Isaiah 65:25 says, in that day, the wolf and the lamb will feed together. Okay, usually the lamb is the wolf's food, but it says they're going to lay down and eat together. It says the lion will eat straw like an ox. So the lion's not eating meat anymore. It says dust will be the serpent's food. Okay, now apparently snakes are eating dust, not, you know, rabbits or whatever they eat. And it says they shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain. You can also check out Isaiah 11, which talks about it a little bit more. But the only time when things will no longer be destroyed is in the heaven, is in heaven. And it appears, by the way, that all animals will be tame. So once again, let your imagination flow. Maybe you could ride a bear in heaven, all right? Maybe instead of a teddy bear, you get a real bear or something, right? How amazing would that be? Maybe like you get like a talking donkey like Shrek or something. How sweet would that be? And maybe you're thinking, wait a minute, who talked about talking animals? Well, Psalm 148 says, let all of creation praise the name of the Lord. Revelation 8:9 says, creation, that word for creation there, or excuse me, it says all the living creatures praise the name of the Lord. Excuse me about that. It says this, the word for creatures there is the word that's used for animals. And so it says that the animals in Revelation 4:8-9 never stop praising God, saying, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty who was and is to come. So the animals are thankful for God. The living animals give glory and honor and praise to him who sits on the throne. How amazing is that? So animals have their part in heaven too. What animals? I don't know. It talks about a couple of them, right? We saw the lion and the lamb and stuff like that. But there's nothing to say that it couldn't be dinosaurs. There's nothing to say that it couldn't, maybe it's one of your pets. It could be. It doesn't say, but if it's going to be some animals, who knows? God could redo all of the animals that were ever created. God can do whatever he wants. The point is that there will be animals. Here's the thing that we always need to remember about heaven, you guys. There's clearly nothing on earth that's better than it will be in heaven, okay? In heaven, get this, maybe you're thinking, I got an awesome best friend, or I have a wife or a husband someday. What's going to happen there? Why on earth would it go away? In heaven, we will not be married. Jesus specifies that. But it doesn't mean that the relationships with those who we had the closest relationships will just disintegrate, right? Why would it mean that? That would be ridiculous. It wouldn't mean that at all. Clearly, nothing on earth, once again, can be better than it is heaven. So if you have this awesome godly relationship with your friends or your mom and your dad, why would God be like, no, I'm over it? No, he's going to let you explore that and take that to such new levels in eternity. How awesome, right? Or we're going to get to meet new people as well. That's who's in heaven. You guys want to invite Moses over for dinner and be like, Moses, what was it like when you got the Ten Commandments, right, dude? Or, dude, hey, Mary, what was it like when Jesus was a little kid, right? Or hey, tell us all about the flood, Noah. Like, tell us all of these things. How cool is that, right? How exciting that we will be ourselves, that we're going to have an awesome, glorious body, and we're still going to get to continue on in our godly relationship. Such a good example for you to share your faith with people, right? Because guess what? That means that if you do that, that means that person gets to come to heaven with you, and you guys can stay friends forever. Last thing, and very quickly, because we're very running out of time, is if I go fast, I'm sorry. What will we do in heaven? Okay, the first thing I want to talk to you about, though, is despite what we're doing in heaven, it will never be boring. You know, sometimes people are like, what are we going to do for eternity? Okay, Psalm 16:11 says that at God's right hand are pleasures forevermore. Okay, heaven is the last thing heaven will be is boring, okay? I don't know about you guys, but I've never had a boring day. Living for God is quite the opposite, in fact. It's always exhilarating. It's always challenging. It's always very different. And if you're bored right now, it's because you're not following what God has for you. He's got adventures for you ready to go. He's got times for you to step out on faith, but you must follow what he says. And one another thing, how could heaven be boring? Think about this. God gave you taste buds, right? God gave you a brain. God gave you nerve endings. He gave you all these things on earth to enjoy the things of earth. Why would all of a sudden he take those things away in heaven? Why would he all of a sudden be like, oh, well, you don't really need to taste what ice cream is like anymore? That was of heaven, or of earth, excuse me. No, why would something on earth be better than heaven? Impossible. So yes, we will do those things. Here's a couple of things we'll be doing very quickly. In the Bible is mentioned music. Revelation speaks of harps, and the Bible talks about instruments like flutes, cymbals, tambourines. It says that the 144,000 people that return with Jesus sing songs. David danced on earth. Why wouldn't he dance in heaven, right? How awesome is that? Along with music also comes worship, obviously. I don't know about you guys, but I've had amazing worship experiences like at the weekend and some of the other places we've gone. Okay, now imagine doing it in the presence of the Lord with angels everywhere and about 20 billion people there with you. Talk about a worship set, right? That's amazing. And by the way, Satan won't be there to wreck our fun, to wreck anything that we're doing. I love how people are like, I'm going to hell so I can party. You're like, no, you've got it all wrong. Heaven is where we're going to be partying. The Bible speaks of the marriage feast of the Lamb, where we will eat and drink with God and gather. Notice that Jesus said, if you guys remember at the Last Supper, he said, I won't drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it with you in my Father's house. Okay, so we're going to obviously be hanging out together. How awesome is that? Eating meals with Jesus. That's amazing. So dancing, worship, music, food, I'm set. I don't need anything else, right? That's amazing. There's no way that people in hell will be partying, right? And by the way, we will be working as well. And maybe you're thinking, work, lame. Okay, you have to think about it in a different way, you guys, okay? Because the only reason we don't like work is because we don't like the pain and the stress. And you know what? And that's why during the curse, God said, guess what? Your curse is now you'll toil in the sweat of your brow, basically meaning you'll work and sweat and be exhausted from it, and you'll get nowhere. That's what you get for sinning. But this won't be like this. You're going to literally have your dream job, right? Who's to say that all these things on earth will be ceasing in heaven? Things like art and music and entertainment, right? All good, godly things that exist on earth. Why is there not a reason for them to exist in heaven, right? We will also be serving one another, and most importantly, we'll be reigning with Christ. Some have even suggested, this is obviously nowhere found, so it's just, once again, somebody running their imagination, thinking of the things that they can do, that there'll be sports and competition in heaven, saying, why not? Sports aren't an evil thing. There's nothing wrong with playing a game of basketball. Why can't I play in heaven where I can, like, dunk, you know, because I can, like, fly or something, you know, when I can really do cool stuff like that? Creative arts, building, why would all these things cease? Remember what Paul said? He said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Meaning, hey, listen, obviously death is way better than living here. To die is to go to heaven and to enjoy so much more. He didn't say to die is so sad. He said to die is a better. He's like excited to get out of here, right? So you guys can see all these things I've spoken about are very amazing, right? But I can't wait for that day. I can't wait for the day when my faith becomes my sight. When I no longer need to pray to God, I can look at him and pray to him and tell him things that are, tell him everything and tell him how much I love him and worship at his feet. Right? Here's the thing. We in our human bodies can barely even try to even comprehend the things of God. With all your imagination, we can do a good job. But God, who knows the things God has in store for us? Very amazing. To see what heaven will look like and to worship Jesus at his feet. That's the most important thing about heaven, you guys. You want to know what's in heaven? Yeah, your friends are and all those things are in there. Praise God. But you know what's really there that's the most important thing? God himself, who by his death let you come into heaven and enjoy those things. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy eating. Enjoy playing games. Enjoy music. Enjoy worship because of his death. And so I want to just, since we're out of time, I'm just going to kind of stop there. And I just want to leave you with the words too. I don't know if you guys have ever heard the song, Heaven Song by Phil Wickham. It's an awesome song. I'm going to invite Ben up here to start worship after this. By the way, you can start taking communion at any time, you guys. We have about 25 minutes. So just think of how cool it is, all the things that God has done for you and is going to do for you in heaven. And I pray that if in here you have not made a commitment to the Lord, that you would come, because then this is what your future looks like. Then you get to know how to get to heaven and you get to tell other people how to get to heaven. And someday this will be your reality. Not just a state of mind. This is a real place, my friends. So I want to leave you with these words. These songs, these words really touched me when I heard them. It says, I hear your voice and I catch my breath. Well done, my child, enter in and rest. Tears of joy run down my cheek because it's beautiful beyond my wildest dreams. I want to run on greener pastures. I want to dance on higher hills. I want to drink from sweeter water in the misty morning chill. And my soul, it's getting restless for the place where I belong. Oh, I can't wait to join with the angels and sing my heaven song. Father, thank you so much, Lord, that because of your death, Father, we get to live. And Father, I just pray that you would, God, if there's anyone in here who says, I want to go to those places. I want to be able to enjoy God forever. I want to hang out with my friends. Lord, I pray that you would have them come hang out with a leader, Lord, and that they would, Father, see how amazing the things you have in store for us, and that God, in the light of what's to come, we can deal with anything right now. I know there's a lot of people in here dealing with a lot of things, God, and a lot of heartache, but as Paul said, this momentary affliction, this momentary pain is nothing compared to the eternal glory that awaits us, and I pray that we'd remember that as we go to school, that God, we would share you with our friends, because what's the worst they can say? Because God, but a little bit of pain and agony is nothing compared to the joy we have in heaven. We love you. In your name, amen.
Wandering awe surround. Glory and fire, light your way.